Gone are the days when marketing was solely about ads and branding. Today, it's a complex blend of data, analytics, AI, and the art of crafting experiences. I'm Audrey Cannata, operations lead here at the Digital Growth Institute. And in this episode, we'll explore how the CMO position is transforming into that of an experience engineer. And here with me, of course, is founder and CEO of the Digital Growth Institute, James Oberle.
Hey, Audrey.
Welcome.
I'm so happy to be talking about this topic because it is one I've been thinking about, I've been writing about, and actually been getting interviewed about a lot lately.
Yes, you have. You've had many conversations with some of the industry's leading publications. But before we get started, what's good for you today? What's going well for you personally or professionally?
A couple things, actually. Number one, we had a family 5K over the weekend. And we got to run out at the monument, the San Jacinto Monument, which is where Texas won its independence. So really neat little place to be, especially considering the fact that, you know, we're in the Houston area and there were some hills. I say hills. It's not like Austin. I've done a half marathon in Austin, but there's a little elevation. Rolling plains is probably a better way to frame
there you go. That's
to,
it.
To frame
geographically
that.
Correct.
Exactly. And so that was a lot of fun. And then something came to the office today, and I know you're about an hour or so away. We got the first look at Banking on Change.
Printed
paperback. The hardback's coming right after this. I'm really excited for that launch on April 30th.
Do I get one in my hands when I come to the office next?
Absolutely.
Good. I'm excited.
Well, you've played such a key role in that. And I think, you know, when you think about what is happening right now, particularly with the chief marketing officer role, there's a lot of change that has happened, that is happening, that will continue to happen, that will impact the CMO, but not just the CMO, really marketing as a whole.
Yeah, absolutely. And you shared a quote with me over the weekend. I'm going to try to pull it up real quick that I loved from Marcus Aurelius. Yes. And it was, the universe is change. Our life is what our thoughts make it. You're talking about all of this change, banking on change, the evolving role of the CMO, marketing. A lot of it has to do with our thoughts and our mindsets.
Absolutely.
And where we go from here.
Yes.
So let's dig into this. You have been interviewed several times recently, and this has been kind of a hot topic. I know we've covered it here on the podcast many times and lots of discussions sparked on LinkedIn, especially, but it's about this evolving role of the CMO.
Yes.
How is this role evolving?
I mean, if you go back and let's just call it the quote unquote Mad Men era.
I love it.
Marketing was about ads and the medium in which those ads were being communicated through print, radio, that moved into TV, billboards, etc. But then around 1994, we saw a transformation happen, obviously with not the advent or even the birth, but the mass adoption or the acceptance at human consciousness of the internet. And even in 1994, the internet was in its infancy. I was just listening to a podcast earlier today that was talking about the rise of email. I think it was actually MCI. It was like an MCI platform back in 1985, 1986.
Oh, wow.
Was essentially early email. And what we have to remember is whether we're talking TV, print, radio, billboard, email, the internet, websites, and then, you know, go 2002, 2003, 2004, the rise of social media. We're moving into web 2.0 at that point. There's a constant theme throughout all of those, which is, this is not about ads. It's not about broadcast versus digital versus print. It's about communication.
Mm-hmm.
Communication is the constant, regardless of the channel. And to a degree, I'm finding that marketing teams are forgetting some of that today.
Why do you say that?
Well, when we go and we work with a financial brand and we asked their teams, and this is from the leadership team to the marketing team to sales and operations, we asked them a very simple question. What is marketing in one word?
Right.
And the majority respond communication. So they haven't forgot that piece of it. I'm even just pulling up some data here from 16 that responded from an organization going through our Banking on Digital Growth program. The top three most common responses came back communication when answering the question, what is marketing? Communication, recognition, promotion. But what I'm concerned with is CMOs and marketing teams are forgetting the why. Why are we communicating? That's what I'm referencing when we have forgotten why this is important. And marketing, the way that we define it here, and it's interesting, you've said it on conversations, you've seen light bulbs go off in people's eyes. You've seen a shift in their body language when I say marketing is not about ads or emails, communication, if you will. Those are communication channels. Marketing is about one thing, which is influence. And when I stop and pause and we define marketing as influence, even those who work within marketing, and they have worked in marketing for maybe a decade, maybe 2 decades, maybe even 3 decades, it's interesting to see sometimes the puzzled look on their face for a moment, and then the light bulb goes off and like, ah, I get it.
Could it be that maybe influence is that word is somehow tied to like persuasion? And maybe that's why there was a little bit of, and it's not shock. It's just like, oh, that's a different way to think about it. But I think when we think persuasion, that might not be as well received. And those are two very different things, correct?
Well, I mean, you definitely have to influence to persuade someone to make a different buying decision. You know, I think in coming back and looking at this recent research from this organization, promotion was there.
Right.
But influence, we have to remember when it comes to marketing, and it's not just even, I would say, marketing, it's marketing, it's sales, and it's leadership. All of that comes down to influencing really two things, the hearts and the minds of people. Leadership is obviously influencing the hearts and minds of internal teams. Sales is influencing the hearts and minds of prospective customers or prospective members. But marketing has a very interesting blend of the two, to where marketing has an opportunity to influence hearts and minds, yes, of prospective account holders, prospective members, members, account holders, etc., but also to influence the hearts and minds of internal teams and even leaderships in today's ever-evolving, ever-changing world. The reason being is the perception of marketing by others outside of marketing is still rooted in a traditional pre-internet worldview, even though we're 30 years now past 1994.
So is it up? Is it up to the market? I'm just going to ask a really hard, direct question. Is it up to the marketer, the marketing team, the CMO, to bring awareness, to have those conversations of kind of the shifting roles, to bring, like you say, that, you know, they have the ability to influence internal teams?
Well, I mean, perspective shapes reality. And it's not even, I would say it's an obligation, particularly the CMO, to influence the perspective of marketing. Now, as we move further into the age of AI, there's an existential question of why does marketing exist to begin with in the first place?
almost crucial.
Exactly. And if the perspective of marketing internally within financial services is, well, marketing is just a necessary evil. Marketing is a cost center. Marketing is just kids that play with paint and crayons. You know, they're the glorified in-house Kinko there to serve the last minute demands of others. Marketing is just a tactical tool. It is not a strategic piece of the growth engine. And therefore, until marketing teams, and more specifically CMOs, SVPs, VPs of marketing, depending upon the organization, influence the internal perspective of marketing, there's a high probability that there will be a growing conflict. There'll be growing chaos around the role of marketing as we move further into the age of AI. We've referenced Sam Altman's prediction that 95% of what marketing teams are doing right now has the potential to be replaced by AI within the next 5 to 10 years.
Right.
Granted, that's a headline. And I think this is the whole point of detaching from what you do today so that you create more space and time to review, to learn, to think about how to do even better in collaboration with AI.
Right. And if marketing is still being viewed as, you know, this in-house Kinko's, then you know what? Sam Altman's prediction very well may come true if that's the perception of marketing. So yes. That goes back to why it's crucial to have these conversations, because it's more than that. It's more than what AI can replace.
Well, then you add into the mix. So you've got the kind of, we'll call it just the creative aspect of marketing, which I would, and the way I look at this is it's a pyramid. When thinking about marketing, there are three levels here. At the base level, you have listening. All good marketing begins with listening. Why? Because listening leads to good communication, which is the middle layer of the marketing triangle. And how we communicate, once again, I look at this through four different lenses. You have the visual communication, which could be graphical. You have the written word. You have audio, i.e. like this podcast. But then what brings all of that together, I would say, is now video. And so, for example, social media, Twitter was just focused on the written piece of this when it first started. Then Instagram, what was Instagram? It was the visual, it was the imagery. And then now you've got TikTok. Well, that's the video component of all of this. And a lot of this thinking for me has been formed from Marshall McLuhan, who was thinking and writing about this even before the internet, even before social media. One of his perspectives was the medium is the message, meaning the mediums of which we communicate are often more impactful and more influential than the messages that we communicate through the medium. And so you have listening at the foundation of the marketing pyramid. You have communication at the middle level, but then what's at the very top of that? That's influence. And what are we influencing? Well, externally, we're influencing the behaviors that people have, and particularly through the lens of financial services, the behaviors that people have around money, where they apply for a loan, where they open an account. Do they maintain that relationship? So we're going beyond behavior. Now we're talking about actions and repeated actions, which is habits. And so to influence behavior, we have to roll that back. What's driving behavior? It's feeling. It's emotion. Well, what's driving feeling and emotions? The thoughts that we have. What drives the thoughts that we have? It's our belief systems and structures. So in essence, marketing is really and should be really influencing belief systems and structures if we're going to impact people's behaviors to move money from A to B.
Yeah. And I think that's why, and I don't know, did you coin this, but where you use experience engineer?
Yes.
The CMO it's becoming that of an experienced engineer, blending left brain and right brain thinking.
Yes. Yeah. That was actually something that I wrote about in Banking on Digital Growth. And so this was probably back in 2018, 2019, I was having some of these thoughts of reframing the role of marketing going forward into the age of AI. And my dad's an engineer. I mean, he is a complete left brain logical thinker. You know, I would say I'm a bit of a hybrid, because I can turn on the analytical left brain, but then there's also the creative right brain. And when we think about this idea of marketing and the CMO specifically becoming an engineer or an experienced engineer more specifically, it is to look for opportunities to develop experiences across communication channels. And that could be in person, that could be through broadcast media, that could be through digital media. But what we're looking for are experiences. And we have to define what an experience is. An experience, once again, as I wrote in Banking on Digital Growth, an experience is a well-defined system or a process. So there's the engineering piece. System or process that has been strategically thought out, practically applied, and then, this is the key, continuously optimized over time, resulting in either a positive or negative emotion, because we know the influence that emotion has on people's behavior.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because, you know, we're having these conversations about, you know, marketing and the role of marketing and the importance of marketing. And it's like, on one hand, we have these articles coming out that, oh, marketing is just going to be replaced by AI technology. But then we have these other articles coming out. And I think the Financial Brand just released one not too long ago, talking about the importance of marketing and how crucial marketing is and how, you know, we need to pour into marketing. Why is there just such this you know, dissonance between these two ideas? I mean, it's just so extreme, it feels like.
Well, it's a matter of perspective once again. When you think about the creative right brain, I know there are a lot of marketers in the vertical that appreciate winning awards at industry events.
Who doesn't?
The bad news of that is sometimes those awards don't always translate into bottom line growth, i.e. revenue. And so it's a language issue here. What value are we creating from a marketing perspective? Is it still the vanity metrics that a CFO or a CEO or a chief lending officer, they really don't care about? Or are we able to communicate in their language? See, there's that idea of communication once again, and communication is the core element to influence. I mean, this really gets into the deeper pyramid of human relationships that I also wrote about in Banking on Digital Growth, because at the foundation of every positive relationship, and let's look at this from an internal perspective, influencing hearts and minds internally. I'm a chief marketing officer, and I want to make a positive influence on the role of marketing within the organization. So this is going to come down to the pyramid of human relationships. It's at the foundation of every positive relationship. And I ask this to marketing teams, sales teams, leadership teams, what's at the foundation of every good relationship? And the vast majority, 90% plus, will come back and say it's trust. And I think that's a very interesting perspective, but it's actually something deeper than trust. And they say, well, what is that? I say it's respect. They go, I've never thought about that before. So you have to have respect before you have the ability to earn someone's trust. And so when we think about this idea of influence, particularly internal influence on the role of marketing in the age of AI, we have to gain the respect of others. And how do we do that? We help them when they have a need, not when we, the marketing team, has a need. Like, I need more budget. Well, why? like what value is that going to create? Well, let me start talking about value creation for you internally, chief lending officer or head of SMBs, you know, with their growth goals and their growth initiatives. So it's respect. Respect is the foundation of every positive. And that translates to externally as well when we're talking about external communication. Because at the pyramid of human relationship, it's love, it's commitment. Once we have someone's respect, we can work towards that level of love. And this is not some type of feel-good emotional idea I have. This is about commitment. And I would say it's even from a deeper philosophical perspective, when we look at how Thomas Aquinas defines love, yeah. It's to will the good of another person. And whether that's an internal perspective or an external perspective, as a marketing team, as a CMO, I have to be operating from a place to will the good of other people. Then how do we bridge the gap between respect and love? Enter trust. So mm-hmm. It's respect, trust, love. It starts with respect. Then we have trust. But how do we establish and expand trust in the relationships that we have? Comes down to two things: what you say and what you do, words and actions. And if you put those two together, that's communication. Communication then leads to influencing hearts and minds, which can lead to love and commitment.
So thinking about this changing role, these shifting roles of marketing, can you give us a little bit of a comparison? Thinking about the big traditional banks, their marketing models compared to, say, those of fintech startups. Because I know we have, you and I both have done a lot. We have looked at many, many different fintechs and just their marketing, their communication, their positioning. And it's a pretty big difference.
Yep.
It's definitely a different experience. And if we're thinking about experienced engineers, what are some of kind of the key points between those two different models?
It's actually interesting because I'm going to come back and look at some quotes from what this organization that is going through our Banking on Digital Growth program right now responded when asked, had they ever applied or opened an account at a neobank or a digital bank? 56% of them have, 44% of them have not. And so if you have never opened an account or applied for a loan at a digital or a neobank, you're missing out on the experience. Once again, we're talking about being an experienced engineer, well-defined systems and processes that have been strategically thought out, applied, and then optimized over time. And a couple of the adjectives used to describe the experiences from those working at a traditional financial brand in relation to opening an account at a digital or a neobank, they said that those experiences was quick, easy, efficient, fast, smooth, seamless. Now, what's the difference here? When we're thinking about these experiences, it's really comes down to one thing. I would say it's speed. It's speed to market. It's speed to trust. And what is trust? Words and actions, communication. Right. And when you think, well, how do you translate action in a digital context? Well, that could be something as simple as someone abandons an application and you follow up with them 5 minutes later with a phone call saying, hey, I saw you started to apply for this loan. I understand sometimes we get busy, there's distractions, maybe you ran into something. What can I do to help you out? And then I hear those in operations thinking, well, that's not very efficient. We can't scale that. Well, with AI and automation, there's the opportunity to scale the human context here. Conversation for another day, but I think what we're seeing from a fintech digital neobank to that of traditional incumbents, whether they're regional, national, or even community brands, it's speed. The fintech digital world is moving with more of an entrepreneurial perspective, moving with more of an entrepreneurial speed. Think of this like turning a speedboat versus turning an aircraft carrier.
Yeah, I think adaptability is definitely, you know, going to be key, being agile. And I know that we work with a lot of organizations and some more on the, you know, traditional side that, you know, they are trying to turn the aircraft carrier around. Mm-hmm. You know, they're up front, they're trying to turn the ship, and it's just painful. There are so many different, you know, hoops to jump through, and they feel stuck. They feel frustrated. They want to grow and they want to change, but it's almost like the pain of change, it's too hard. It's too much.
Well, I mean, if you think about what influences human behavior here, the desire to change has to be greater than the desire to maintain the status quo, to remain the same. And that's where I think chief marketing officers, they have their pulse on what's going on in the quote unquote real world, what's going on in the marketplace. They're like the front line, if you will. And I say that front line gets even stronger when there's a collaboration between the marketing team and the sales team. And collaboration, as we've talked about on this podcast, is not just working well together, it's co-creating together. And if you take this idea of co-creation to a whole new level, don't just think co-creation internally with just the sales team, think co-creation too with the marketplace even, and co-creating with account holders, co-creating with prospective account holders. And what is that going to require? It comes back to this pyramid of marketing. It's going to require that you listen and learn, go all in, ask good questions, listen to what they're saying, learn through observation, and then based upon that knowledge, then you can communicate that back out into the marketplace. But yes, your point about change, it is hard, it is scary, it is painful. That's the whole reason that I wrote the book Banking on Change as a follow-up to Banking on Digital Growth. Empathy is going to go a long way, particularly internally, when it comes to a chief marketing officer, let's say, helping others navigate the complexity of change. Because I think there's a lot, and this is such at a subconscious level. There's a lot of belief systems. There's a lot of belief structures that are being challenged, that have been challenged, particularly since 2020. That is manifesting itself as people are saying that they're tired, they're burned out. They're like, can we just get back to normal? And it's when you study history, and as we do through a digital anthropological lens, we're not going back to anything that it was before. And I think people philosophically know that, but emotionally they haven't caught up. Their heart hasn't caught up to where their mind is. And so there's a miscongruence, or they're not in congruence to, and that creates that conflict, that creates that chaos, that creates that friction and frustration that so many feel. And so when we look at this through a formulaic approach, this is something that I'm writing about in Banking on Change. EQ plus AQ is going to be greater than IQ alone in the age of AI. And what I mean, EQ we know is an emotional intelligence. AQ, not a lot of people are thinking or understanding what this is just yet. That's your adaptability quotient. That's your ability to change behavior. But if you're going to change behavior, what do you have to change? Go all the way back to the core. You have to change your belief systems and structures. And so when you change you're being empathetic, you have a higher EQ, you increase your AQ, your ability to adapt to environmental changes, technology changes, belief systems changes. Both of those combined are greater than just IQ or traditional intelligence alone. And there are four steps I would say a CMO can guide their internal team through. Step number one is they have to help them see things through a different perspective, is education. So almost in a way, the CMO needs to think about being an experienced engineer internally, not just externally. How can I help others internally see marketing through a modern lens, particularly in the age of AI?
Like creating a common language.
Creating a common language, exactly. And not just establishing the common language, practicing it.
Yeah.
Keep coming back to it.
We hear that over and over again, that it's this getting everyone together, creating a common language. And I love one of the things that you talked about before, it's this idea of the growth team, right? It's marketing and sales really working together. Did you bring service in on that too? Marketing, sales, and service?
Yeah. I mean, that would be the third, kind of the third element, if you will, that unites the experiential front. What I find though is there is a stepped or tiered approach here. Think marketing and sales alignment. Once you get marketing and sales alignment, that is the growth engine. Then you bring service in, that becomes an exponential multiplier to the growth engine. But if we're trying to focus on all three fronts at one time, it can be an exercise in complexity and chaos and conflict.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's one of the, when thinking about our program and we talk to those who have been in it and been out of it. And I mean, one of the biggest things they say that they walked away with and they still have, it's this common language and everybody kind of understands each other, and marketing finally feels understood and validated and heard. I mean, we set in, maybe it was a little over a year and a half ago, I set in on a workshop that you were facilitating, the entire organization, and you were talking about marketing, and you could see those like in our big Zoom room, mm-hmm. you could tell those who are in marketing because their faces kind of started to smile a little bit because you were talking about this subject and they were like, you know, in their minds, like, yes, like they're listening, and they would go out in breakout rooms mm-hmm. and there would be people in sales or in service or on the executives team say, oh my gosh, I did not realize this. And if you just felt this unity, like they all just kind of came together and understood each other.
Yeah. And that's the point of also, once you establish this common language, you have to continuously come back and practice it at least once every 90 days, which is we have our 90-day growth method. This isn't my idea. I mean, this is just me observing human behavior through other contextual lenses. I mean, even down to my kids, I think about my daughter right now. She is teaching herself Spanish on Duolingo and she's practicing and she's applying, but if she doesn't come back, if she takes, you know, a couple weeks off, you can see a regression in her progress. And so while I'm not advocating that, you know, marketing, sales, leadership teams, service teams come together every single day, creating a pattern and a cadence to break free from what you're doing, to pause, to reflect, to review, to learn, to think about how to do even better, that will guarantee continued progress and alignment going forward into what can sometimes right now, as we're hearing, feel like tough and turbulent times.
Yeah, absolutely. So thinking about marketing, the role of the CMO before and how it's evolving today, what would you say are some essential skills now that the CMO person really need to have to succeed and move forward? Because I think this role may not be cut out for everybody. It's very well possible that there's going to be some changing roles as people kind of evolve out of this, you know, role and new, I'm not going to say younger, but just fresh thinking comes in. What are some of the changes we're going to see and what that skill set that CMO marketer needs to have?
I mean, you know, we could look historically and think of this as, and I think that's the whole perception of why, particularly in financial services, there might be some executives or senior leaders who view marketing as kids that play with paint and crayons because they look at this as the quote unquote, the creative department.
Yeah.
There's definitely more, there's an opportunity to focus more on the human factor, to focus on areas of study like psychology, sociology, anthropology, you know, the people side of things. there's the old adage, if you walk a mile in someone's shoes, if you've never walked in a mile in someone's shoes, you don't really know how they feel. Being able to bring that empathetic perspective, the voice of the customer, but not just the voice of the customer, also the voice of the employee. See, there's that, there's another possible collaboration here between marketing and what it was historically like HR, because I've been very big about activating internal advocates to be micro influencers, whether they're leaders or lenders or advisors, but that's going to take a collaboration between the marketing team, the sales team, maybe the HR team, to work through some of those complexities there. Definitely, you've got the data and the analytics piece of this. There's obviously going to be the AI perspective. I think the AI is coming down to how good can you ask questions, basically.
Yes.
It's not about what you know, it's about what you don't know, and it's about how you're able to frame, form, and articulate a question and then reframe that. And what I'm observing, that is a skill. And it is not as simple as Googling. That was a skill of, you know, 1994 to call it, you know, 2022. Now with the rise of ChatGPT and other AIs, it's prompting, being able to articulate and ask a good question is going to be another skill there. But I say it all comes back to the, for lack of a better word, the human factor, the social sciences.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, you mentioned earlier IQ and how EQ and AQ greater than IQ. And I really like that, because, you know, IQ, yes, you know, having knowledge and expertise is important. Mm. I do personally think that really anyone can gain knowledge, expertise. I don't know, and I'm curious to get your opinion. I don't know that adaptability and EQ are as easy to develop. I think it takes a little bit more intention, a little bit more thoughtfulness there.
That's the human factor once again. And if you think about what the work that we've been doing through the lens of digital anthropology over the last two decades, it's the intersection of marketing, sales, technology, and human behavior. It's the human factor. It's the human behavior component that's the wild card. And you're right. I would say to transform your EQ, or to elevate your EQ, to elevate your AQ, it's completely possible. And there are ways to benchmark that. There are ways to coach against that. There are ways to elevate and improve that. But it is not as simple as going out and Googling the answer, or ChatGPTing the answer, because that really requires internal transformation. As I've said before, all transformation that leads to future growth starts within. It starts with the self, then it moves to the team. Teams are made up of individuals. From the team, and that expands into the organization. And then from the organization, that transformation has the ability to then spill over to positively influence the lives of people in the communities that your financial brand is serving. But I think it comes back to, why are you doing what you're doing to begin with? Why? And here's the hard question. When we think about influence, and, you know, looking at some of the data from this particular financial brand that is going through the Banking on Digital Growth program right now, I have it pulled up. One of the questions that we asked is, why should I open an account or apply for a loan? Literally, almost 100% of the responses came back to, and I'm summarizing, we have great rates and amazing service that offers you a personalized experience because we care for you. And in this particular case, they're a credit union, because we're like a bank, but better. And so it's the same. If that's the belief system of why someone should open an account or apply for a loan at this particular financial brand, the follow-up question to that is, well, what makes you different from the others? And then it gets into more of the same. They double down on this idea of service and rates. There's a couple people, though, who are actually pretty honest. They were like, not 100% sure what I would say here. Feels very similar to what others are doing in this regard. I don't know.
I like that answer, honestly.
Exactly. Because this is a belief system and structure. If that is your belief system and structure of why someone should open an account or apply for use because we have great rates, amazing service, and for lack of better, you know, words, laundry lists of lookalike product features, you're no different and you're no better than every other, you know, 10 or 15,000 financial institutions within the United States right now. And what is missing from this is education, expertise, and experience. I'd say it's those three elements: education, expertise, and experience. When you package those together, that is how you can differentiate your financial brand in a sea of commoditization that was brought on by the internet. You're leveraging the internet. You're leveraging the communication channels that are now available to unlock, amplify, and distribute the expertise that your financial brand holds within, because really at the end of the day, people are looking for two things when it comes to their money. They're looking for help and they're looking for hope. And hope for many has to come far before they're open, able, willing to receive help.
Yeah. I like that. You're leveraging the communication channels. You're leveraging technology. You're leveraging AI. So looking out over, let's say, the next decade, what are your predictions? Where do you see this role, the CMO role, evolving, and what might be some opportunities for them on the horizon?
Definitely this idea of being an experienced engineer, you know, thinking through the context of the consumer buying journey. And there's really three different ways that we can look at the buying journey. There's three different ways that we teach. I mean, the most, I would say, quote unquote, basic is awareness, consideration, purchase, adoption, and advocacy. It's those five different levels or those five different stages going in and assessing where there are gaps, where there are opportunities, prioritizing those gaps or those potential roadblocks. Prioritizing the opportunities is a very good first step, but doing that through the context of the different product lines. So A, you have to prioritize the product lines that create the greatest value for the organization, then look at those five different stages, those five different areas of focus, and then create an execution plan against it. But when you think about that execution plan, where might you be able to leverage communication channels to positively influence hearts and minds? Regardless of if it's at the awareness stage, the consideration, the purchase, the adoption, or the advocacy, because all of this comes down to influence. What is influence? It's communication. Well, how do you have good communication? It comes down to listening. And so being an even better listener going forward is going to be another key activity.
So as we wrap up, James Robert, I'm a CMO, and this is all resonating with me. This is me. I feel you. You're like striking a nerve. Everything you just said, moving forward, but I'm overwhelmed. Mm. That's a lot. Mm. You just went through, you know, the different, you know, consumer buying journey and breaking it up into different product lines. Help me simplify this for me.
Sure.
What's my next best step? Where do I go from here?
Well, I mean, you got really three options. Number one, keep listening to this podcast. We're continuously just sharing what we're observing in the marketplace in real time to communicate this back to help guide others. Number two, read Banking on Digital Growth. It is a strategic guide for financial brand leaders to really transform the perspective of marketing internally and then provide a path forward on how to stop losing loans and deposits. And then the third is consider the Banking on Digital Growth program. It's three simple steps. And we developed this program specifically to help financial brands get quick wins, starting by secret shopping their website, because that is where all it's like the old adage, all roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the website when it comes to someone making a financial purchase decision, regardless of where they're hearing about it, because we know that the offline drives the online. We know the drive online continues to reinforce the online. Now, regardless of how that person converts, whether it be through the website, over the phone, or in the branch, we know the influence that the website has in that purchase decision.
Definitely. So there you have it. Keep listening to the podcast, read Banking on Digital Growth. And if you have any questions or want to look further in the Banking on Growth, Digital Growth program, reach out to James Roberts, reach out to myself specifically if you are looking at more information on the website, Secret Shopping Studies. Happy to help you out.
Absolutely. Audrey, this has been a lot of fun today.
Yes, this has been great. I love digging into this topic, marketing team. I know it hits home with a lot of our listeners.
Absolutely.
And thank you for joining us for another episode of the Banking on Digital Growth podcast.